You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
I've traveled quite a bit in my life, and there's very little worse than missing a flight. You sit in a terminal for God knows how long waiting for whatever alternative way home you can get. There are rarely seats designed for sleeping, and the food options are either so expensive you wonder if the people who set the prices have ever seen what a hamburger costs in the real world, or they're so gross you don't want to risk the stomach situation that will follow. Worst delay I ever had was a layover in Atlanta that turned into a 10-hour delay thanks to a hurricane, and I ended up watching several Fast and the Furious movies. But at the very least, I've never had a missed flight that unraveled into a twisted web of intrigue and soul-crushing self-dissection with a stranger who won't leave me the hell alone. I save my existential crises for when I'm alone in bed staring at the ceiling at night. But no such luck for Jeremiah in A Perfect Enemy. After missing his flight, a successful architect meets a mysterious young woman. Although the meeting seems fortuitous, soon things begin to unravel and twist into something much more sinister and criminal. A Perfect Enemy is directed by Keek Miyayo, starring Tomas Kot and Athena Stratus and Marta Nieto. My apologies for all of those. I am TC DeWitt from the Screener Squad, and joining me is Luane.
Hey, how's it going?
And Trevor.
Bonjour.
Oh, fellas, let's hit up the VIP cocktail lounge and discuss A Perfect Enemy.
Oh, boy.
I suppose, Luane, you can just launch right into that.
Go ahead, Luane. Right, you seem to have a feeling.
Oh, boy. Damn.
Had I seen this in, 1997 or so, or read a novel like this in that time period, I'd have been like, yeah, okay, sure. Because that would be the thing that everybody was making and watching then. It's got this sort of weird, twisty thriller and the background mystery and the best stuff, I can't really say because, you know.
It is difficult to discuss a movie like this, which is heavily reliant on the twist that comes as it unravels. It's a mystery movie. Mm-hmm. And there's the setup and the intrigue and the mysterious moments where you're like, what's this mean? And then it's a way to... you have to get to a point where it unravels. For me, there was the halfway point, literally the 45-minute mark. There's sort of the first turn in the story, like the first big turn. And I paused for a second and went, how is this only half over? But from that point on, then things start unraveling and going somewhere. But as I say, we can't really delve into too much of where this goes. Rather, we can discuss how it sort of gets there and sets itself up. Because you're right, Luane, this feels to me like a novel you'd buy at an airport to read on a plane. That's what this feels like to me.
No, honestly, that I'm glad you said that because I had the exact same reaction. I'm like, this is the novel that I pick up in the airport when I have a layover.
Yep.
And it's twisty, it's turny, it's fun, but at the same time, I don't know how much I'm going to be thinking about this in 2 weeks. Personally, I'm going to come right out and say I recommend this to everybody. It's European, it's not subtitled, so those of you who have an allergy to reading or, you know, maybe some reading difficulties, there are some people who have come out to me and said, Trevor, I'm dyslexic, it's hard for me, you know, it's not a preference thing, and I'm like, okay, I didn't think this through.
Sure.
But for people who just cannot do subtitles, this is a good shot of European filmmaking. It's really well made, it's really well performed. this is a movie that deals a lot in perfection. Mm-hmm. And that's a term that gets brought up a lot. And this movie, I don't, it's not a perfect movie, but it is a movie that visually rises to the occasion of being breathtaking and well-crafted. And everything happening in this movie is really good. I just think it's, you know, it is a story that I watched this with my girlfriend. We both got out ahead of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, knowing where it was going didn't necessarily diminish what happened when they got there. It's kind of like watching Psycho, you know, 60 years later. Everybody knows the twist ending of Psycho, but it's still fun to watch that movie because you can see the setup, the foreshadowing, and the payoff. And so I enjoyed it. It's not high cinema. I don't think it's something that's going to win any Oscars or that you need to necessarily maybe pay the $7 rental fee to watch right away. But it is something you should check out if it strikes your interest.
You do bring up a fair point about the technical aspect of this film. Not just that this is a European film and it does have that European flavor in how it's filmed, which is a lot of subtle stuff. If you've indulged in foreign films, you can maybe not pinpoint the differences, especially with English-speaking foreign films, where it's like, oh, well, they're speaking my language just with an accent. There are subtle differences in how European films are paced and on a technical level. And there is some really neat technical tricks happening here. The storytelling nature of the camera work and the camera tricks is really cool. There's some neat moments where our female lead is telling her story, and he's imagining it. Mm-hmm. And she stops him and says, "You're imagining the wrong thing." And she's in the scene, in the memory with him, and says, let me, you're thinking of your memory. Now remember, let me paint the picture of my memory and now follow me. And there's some fun things being done that way in this film that I think are really cool.
Right. And I should be clear that I don't really care for the story. I do like the storytelling.
Yes. Great.
Particularly, like the technical stuff, but particularly the performance of the female lead, because she's the reason I kept going with this, because I'm like, okay, what else is she going to tell me about? I don't entirely know always where this is going, but I'm curious to see how she's going to get me there, because she's clearly directing how this goes, right? Mm-hmm. She's leading this whole thing all the way through. And so I have to give her props for realistically carrying a lot of this movie, because the male lead mostly has to react against her, right? Or to her or whatever. She is driving the narrative literally in this case. I mean, she's telling the story and we're following it.
This is Athena Stratus, and she plays Texel, who's Tessel. Dutch.
As she Tessel, because she's Dutch. If she were German, it would be Texel. But since she's Dutch, which she points out countless times, it's Tessel.
This is on her shoulders. And you're right. Our male lead, Jeremiah, is reacting to her through the course of this film. And as we're introduced to him first, it's a good handoff of who the main character is, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's his story to start. And she enters the picture and she stays in the picture and she won't go away until she beats him into submission to let her tell him her stories. Mm-hmm. And as she says, part one is disgusting, part two is thrilling, and part three is romantic. And here we go. And he's along for her ride, willingly and unwillingly at the same time.
Well, and there is a theme here, and it's addressed early enough on. I don't think I'm spoiling anything by bringing it up in broad, but there is something to be said here about personal space and about inflicting yourself on people in a social situation. Like, you're both waiting for a taxi to the airport. Can I get a ride? Can I hang out with you in the Sky Miles lounge? Can we talk? Can you tell me about yourself? Can I tell you about myself? There are situations, and you know, I'm not a particularly social person anymore. I used to be. I used to be the guy that walks up to you in the bar, slaps you on the back, and says, "Hey, how you doing?" And now I'm the guy that sits at the end of the bar and hope nobody talks to him, addresses him. Yeah, just leave me alone. I want to read. Mm-hmm. And having this girl who is this, I don't want to say manic pixie dream girl, but she's kind of this rambunctious
territory.
Yeah, she's kind of loud and brash and brassy. She's attractive and interesting, and she's got a story to tell that you're not sure where it's going, and you're kind of rooting for the guy. Like, No, man, don't tell her off. I want to see where she's going with this.
she's a manic pixie nightmare girl, is what she ends up being. Which is interesting because I know we're not going to talk about the ending, but they do some very interesting visual things as it gets closer to the end and it starts winding up and you kind of see where things are going that I have to commend them on. I don't want to get into again because of the ending itself. But I should be clear. I don't hate this movie. I just... there are elements of it that just make me sigh. I don't know. That's all there is to it.
We have seen a lot of stories like this. Yeah. I will say that. And I think that's... there's part of me that wants to say that I got out ahead of this. And then there's also parts of me that's like, man, the clues they dropped were so obvious. I don't know that they were necessarily hiding it from you. And that picking it up when you picked it up is exactly what they wanted. So I might be trying to elevate myself into a place of validation where I saw it coming, but... I may have saw it coming exactly when they wanted.
Well, and that's just it. This almost seems constructed as if it knows that, oh yeah, you've seen this before. So here's how we're going to do that. And here's how we're going to play with that. Oh, you think you've got it figured out, but I'm going to do this other thing.
There's an architecture to the screenplay, the craftsmanship of the visuals, and just the narrative itself, which our main character is an architect. It's talking about the perfection of architecture.
Architecture.
What am I doing? That's not a word.
You word so things, don't you?
You make a fair point, Trevor, that perhaps the obvious nature of some of these things was part of the design of this film, where the twists and turns, you may see them coming, but then there's ones that seemingly come out of nowhere, and how they craft answers for those questions is interesting. When sitting back after watching this and sort of letting the credits roll through in the opposite direction for some reason.
Yeah, I thought that was the end down. Credits were really interesting. I watched them through to the end. So there is that.
Sitting there and absorbing the movie as I want to do when watching an intriguing, mysterious thriller, right? There's the questions left and did they get answered correctly? And sort of just stroking my chin, wondering, did it do everything it set out to do? And I'm Lawayne lamenting some things that, you know, we can't discuss fully about this. I don't know if it did. There's so much good in this movie from a technical level. The performances are very solid. I don't know if it nailed what it set out to do, but at the same time, I would be willing to watch it again with someone, right? Because for me, mysterious movies, thrillers like this, I do get something out of experiencing them side by side with someone, especially if I already know how it's going, right? Like I like watching something like Inception or The Usual Suspects with someone who's never seen it, because then I'm observing their watching of the film, which I suppose is almost thematic to this movie itself, because Tessel is observing her memories through his reactions. So I suppose inadvertently, I'm theming my analysis of the film around that. I didn't hate this movie because there's other movies that try to pull this stuff off and it's like, ugh, don't watch this. Don't bother. It doesn't stick the landing. But there's something intriguing about this film from its technical level and from the screenplay up where I'm like, this might be worth watching with someone. I don't know. What do you guys feel about that? Because Trevor, you said you watched it with your significant, right?
Yeah, I watched it with my partner and we were tickled with it. We enjoyed it. She had kind of mentioned that, you know, I just want to hang out with you while you watch it and I might fall asleep or something. So I'm like, all right, drag the laptop into the living room, plug it into the TV and kind of made it. And like from about minute two, she sucked in. I mean, this character, this female lead is
it hooked her.
Intriguing. Like she not only gets in the protagonist's face, she's in your face as the viewer in the story. And you're kind of like, well, where is she going? What is she doing? What is she going to do to him? What is she going to do with him? Is he going to do anything to her? And so it's this weird kind of almost parlor drama, cat and mouse, that could be set on stage, but it's just so technically well done that I really enjoyed watching it as a film. And so I don't know. This was really in my lane. I do have to say the overall story, if you were to plot this out on a beat sheet or a save the cat sheet, you know, you've seen this movie 100 times. And this one isn't particularly going to stand out from the pack from a lot of the movies that we saw probably in the late 90s, early 2000s. But you know what? I haven't seen this kind of movie in a hot minute. And it was kind of fun. And it was fun because it's, I'm letting it get away with something because it's European too. Just because yeah, it's European, it's fancy. And so, I don't know, a lot of things were working together on this for me, so I really enjoyed it.
Well, why don't you roll that into your rating there?
Yeah, I'll roll that into a rating. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 frequent flyer miles.
Very good. Luane, why don't you take me home with this?
It's fine. I mean, I know I'm like...
And review but, over. Thank you, yeah, Luane. That's
it.
First.
It's fine, so yeah, no. This is one of those things where I'm like, I don't know who I'd recommend it to, but I wouldn't tell them not to watch it either. It's interesting sometimes, and it does get by a lot on the performances of the lead, particularly mm-hmm. the actress playing Tessel. Because just as a, in the male lead's position, I'd have been like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a hand, we'll get to the airport. And initially, she would be intriguing, and she would be aggravating, and I'd want her to go away. But I would also not want to because I'm not done hearing this weird ass story that you're telling. And I mm-hmm. keep bringing me in. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I kind of hate that about you. But so this isn't right in the middle for me because it has some technical stuff that works for it visually. Mm-hmm. Some of the weird audio they do, the weird symbology that it's not even subtle. It's real. It's almost not even symbology. It's like literally, here's the thing.
Text.
Yeah, it's not sub, it's just text. And it gets an extra point for the performance of Tessel. So I'll give it 3.5 out of 5 bloodstains in the airport.
Very good. For those who indulge in Agatha Christie or mysteries and thrillers like Gone Girl, The Girl on the Train, or if anyone remembers it, The Words from 2012. Anyone remember that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't thought of that in a while.
Perfect Enemy is, frankly, perfect for people who enjoy those things. It's got a twisted plot, and it winds through these characters' lives with interesting and sometimes really odd moments. The performances are good from not Jennifer Lawrence and not Michael Fassbender. The best stuff here is the sound design. It's rich and it's unsettling. The camera work and the narrative camera tricks are really well done, too. From a filmmaker's lens, I think this is one to watch in how a camera tells a mysterious story, an intriguing story. Films like this set up questions like dominoes, and when they're done well, the dominoes all fall in a wonderful fashion. But does this stick the landing? Maybe, perhaps. Luane might say no. It did leave me sitting back and blinking as I replayed the film in my head and got me thinking I would watch this again just to pay more attention to some of the obvious things and why are they obvious. It was supposed to give a very usual suspect Sixth Sense dropping the coffee cup moment. Coffee cug? Mug? Cup? You get me. Yes.
Yeah. I was with you.
Okay, good. So, dropping the coffee cug. God damn. Well, now I gotta leave it in. Now I gotta yeah, leave it
you
in.
Have to leave
now
it
it's
out.
A bit.
It's a gag.
This had one of those, all right, I see you, film. I know where you're going, but I'm along for the ride. I recommend this to anyone who has a thing for mystery thrillers that delve into sometimes surreal elements. This is not Law and Order. This is more Girl on the Train. This is one to watch with someone so you can have a thorough chat afterwards, unraveling the whole thing. So yeah. Really cool stuff here on a technical level. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 switchblades through security. So there we go. Now boarding our final departure for wherever our destinations are going to take us here. I don't like to talk to people on planes until I'm about to land. Is that cool with you guys?
Perfectly fine.
Right, because you don't want to strike up the conversation at the beginning of the flight and be stuck talking to someone for a few hours, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah.